Well, everybody, welcome to episode 70 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk some more playoff football this week. The Ankeny Hawks are coming off an exciting 24-14 win at Southeast Polk in the opening round and will now play six-time defending state champion Dowling Catholic in the quarterfinals on Friday at Williams Stadium in Des Moines. In a little while, we'll be getting the Maroons' perspective on this matchup from one of their assistant coaches. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He's an assistant coach for the Hawks, and he coaches on the offensive side of the ball. He is Adam Booth. Adam, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Doing well.
Hey, you bet. Well, Adam, before we dive into the Dowling game, let's take a quick look back at the Southeast Polk win. You guys racked up nearly 500 total yards in that game. Your quarterback, Jace Bauer, completed 16 of 26 passes for 289 yards, including a pair of long touchdowns to Brody Brecht and Jordan Kamm. You guys certainly had success, you know, in that game throwing the deep ball, and there were a few more plays that were open that you didn't even connect on. But was that the game plan going into the game? Did you think you could have success, you know, throwing those deep balls?
Yeah, we thought we could. We thought we had pretty good matchups with our outside receivers with their corners. A couple of things, new wrinkles that we put in, and we thought they were there. You know, it's kind of how they play defense. But no, Jace, you know, he's kind of coming on really, really good here towards the end of the year, and he sees that thing and sees all that stuff. And obviously, Brody's a pretty good target out there.
I was going to say, with his size and speed, it's pretty inviting to throw that deep ball, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, you guys dominated the first half while building a 17-6 lead, but Southeast Polk later closed the gap to 17-14, and that set the stage for a thrilling finish. You guys got the ball back at your own 18-yard line with about 7 minutes left, and then you went on a 13-play drive to essentially seal the victory on a touchdown run by Bauer with 1:55 remaining. You know, that was probably your biggest drive of the season, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, anytime, you know, we can get the ball in Jace Bauer's hands, we have total confidence in him, and he has free rein to do some of the reads in the pass game and in the run game. So we just kind of started chipping away and found some things that we liked. And, you know, before we knew it, we were across the 50, and I'm like, heck, we better start kind of slowing down a little bit. You know, I don't want to score too early if we, you know, if we can, but obviously if we can score, we'd score. But now we just kind of found some things there at the end and just kind of punched it in, and defense shut them down and walked away with a victory.
We had third and goal there from the 7. I'm sure you debated, you know, what kind of play to call there, but boy, that run by Bauer, he just wasn't going to be denied getting into the end zone, was he?
No, that's total Jace Bauer right there. It's weight room. He's our team leader. You know, if they ask all the kids on our team, if there's one guy that they want to have the ball in their hands, it's going to be Jace at the end of the game.
Of course, you know Southeast Polk coach Brad Zelenovich well because you were on his staff here at Ankeny before he left to take over the Rams program in 2015. You guys are now 2-0 against Brad since he left. So do you think it helped you to have, you know, some insight into his coaching style?
You know, a little bit. You know, I spent 9 years at Southeast Polk, and I came here with Coach Z on the split. And obviously after 2 years, he went back, and I kind of liked where I was at. And I stayed, and, you know, I kind of knew some of his tendencies. I kind of know, you know, Coach Starcevich's tendencies, you know, it's by being around those guys for years. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you watch the film dictates, you know, what you want to do. And they've changed some things up offensive and defensively. But, you know, it's so yes and no, I guess, the answer to that question.
All right. Well, for the season, Bauer has now passed for 2,067 yards and 19 touchdowns. Colin Kadolf has emerged as your number one running back. He's rushed for 894 yards and 16 scores. Have you been pretty happy with the bounce that your offense, you know, has had this year?
We do. You know, we think we can – we're starting to get some things going in the run game. And, you know, we had Kale play offensively running back the first couple of games, and then we decided to make a decision as a staff that Kale probably best serves us as defense. And, you know, Colin was coming on. He carried the ball for us a lot in the summertime, and we knew he was an explosive runner and he had an opportunity. It's just, you know, when you play a big first game against Centennial, it's kind of nice to lean back on some of those veterans, you know, and you don't want to throw kids out there too fast. But – we've kind of eased him along a little bit, and he's had a really good run here towards the end of the year.
Well, Kale was certainly, you know, a pretty good running back in his own right. You know, are you surprised that Kadolf has turned out to be as good as he is?
Not really. Like I said, I watched him run as a freshman, and, you know, just having him in class and seeing how he works and stuff over there at Southview, and, you know, he puts that time in. And Kale's a very selfless player. I mean, he's going to do what's best for the team, and we really needed a safety back there. And Kale's like, hey, I'll do it. You know, I mean, he still backs us up and, you know, gets some carries when he needs to.
Well, speaking of Kale, he missed that first game against Dowling due to concussion that he suffered in your win over Roosevelt. And he also left last week's game with another injury. You know, is he going to be okay to play Friday?
Yeah, I think we'll probably see him on the field on Friday.
I'm sure he won't have it any other way. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny assistant coach Adam Booth. And Adam, the last time Ankeny reached the quarterfinals was in Coach Zelenovich's final season here in 2014, when coincidentally the Hawks ran into Dowling at Williams Stadium and the Maroons rolled to a 48-14 victory. What do you remember most about that game?
Not a whole lot of positive memories, I can tell you that. I think they returned a couple punt returns for a touchdown. For touchdowns, they were big. I think they had the Ryan Boyle kid at quarterback.
Yeah. And
they had a lot of weapons, I can tell you that. So, no, the memories weren't real great, I guess, the last time we played them.
I do remember those two punt returns by Michael Zachary, and they came pretty early in the game. That was pretty much the ball game. But it's hard to recover, from a kick return for a touchdown, let alone two, right?
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, let's talk about Dowling now. In your first game against the Maroons this season, you guys took the ball down the field and scored on your first drive to take an early 7-0 lead. Now, obviously, the game didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. But if you are going to pull off the upset, it'd be nice to get off to another fast start. How critical do you think that is?
Well, it's very critical. First of all, like I said, our guys are playing a lot of confidence right now. And I think a lot of times, Dowling has a great football team. Obviously, they won the last six, and they're very sound, in every aspect of the game. But a lot of teams, I think, when they play Dowling, is they see that Dowling on their chest, and like they get a little intimidation factor. I didn't think we had that the first time we played them. Obviously, we made some mistakes. We got that early lead and had some good things going for us, and they just kind of punched us in the mouth a couple times. And what we didn't do is quit. We kept playing and scored late and, kept the game. It looked like it was close, but, our guys are playing with confidence right now, and they know that if us or anybody's going to beat Dowling, you got to play sound football. You got to tackle, you got to block, can't turn the ball over, things like that.
Well, and Dowling's the type of team, you don't want to get behind. If they get out to a 14-0 lead, they can just line up and kind of run the ball down your throat, shorten the game. And of course, defensively, they can really get after a quarterback if they force you into some passing situations, can't they?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we just got to kind of can't really dig ourselves much of a hole. Like you said, they'll just try to grind out that clock and get, 21 personnel and just grind away, force you to stop them.
Well, in the first game, Bauer passed for 186 yards and a touchdown. But you guys were held to about 50 yards on the ground. There just weren't a lot of holes for Kadolph to run through. For you guys to have any chance to win, you're probably going to have to run the ball a little bit better, aren't you?
Yeah, this time of year, like the weather today. You got to be able to run the ball this time of the year in Iowa. And our schemes have gotten better. We got Sam sitting next to us here. Like I said, those guys are doing a great job. They've watched a lot of film. They're really putting the time in. And it just seems like every year it takes us a little longer to gel. It seems like we're always playing better by the end of the year. Like last year in the playoff game against Valley, I thought it was our best game we played. And, I thought we played great both sides of the ball and special teams against Southeast Polk. I know we had one turnover, we tried to force a special play there at the end and got kind of picked off in the end zone. But other than that, Jace is seeing things really well. Kadolph seeing the holes, offensive line, or obviously, owning the line of scrimmage. Those are things that we're going to have to do if we're going to knock off Dowling.
Well, Bauer did complete four passes to both Kadolph and Cade Summers in that first game, but the Maroons did hold Brody Breck to just one catch for 25 yards. And I'm trying to remember, did they double him a lot, or did they just kind of tilt their coverage in his direction?
He got a lot of double coverage that game. So
I imagine we'll probably see more of that this Friday. Huh?
That's kind of what we're anticipating.
Well, what do you see as some other keys, for your offense in this game?
Like I said, just play with confidence. Just if we start fast, like most teams in America, once you start fast, you get a little bit of confidence. You just got to keep that rolling. Again, like I said before, if you're going to beat Dowling, you can't turn the ball over. Hopefully our defense can get them some situations, maybe get a turnover. Dowling, too, they're always great in special teams. They've always owned special teams. We got to be sound in the special teams game. And, we don't have to play the best game we've ever played at Ankeny. We just got to play a sound, great football game.
Well, don't you think it'll be important, for the offense as well, even if you don't score on every drive, just to move the chains consistently, though, just to keep your defense off the field as much as possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, they're primarily a run team. They're going to try to grind our defense out. And, yeah, I get some, flip field position is always good, We're not a big time of possession type team ourselves. If we're going to score, we're going to score. But, just getting that early confidence going, and I think that's going to go a long ways.
when you guys go up-tempo quite a bit too, so you're not really concerned too much about the time of possession thing, are you?
Not really, no, not really at all.
Well, I know you focused on the offense, but I did want to get your thoughts on the matchup between Dowling's offense and your defense. You guys have allowed only 28 points in the last five games, and one of those touchdowns came on a kick return. You know, so obviously your defense is playing really well. You know, do you think you have the guys that can slow down their attack?
I think so. I mean, we've got some big boys up front on the defensive line, and, you know, Coach Nick Nelson schemes things up in the run game, you know, playing that odd front. We're just going to have to move guys around and maybe get some more guys in the box and give some different looks and go from there.
Well, Dowling's quarterback Hank Hemrick actually hurt you guys more with his legs than his arms in the first game. He ran for 120 yards and passed for just 65. You know, he's a pretty elusive runner, isn't he?
Yeah, he's quite the load the first game, I can tell you that. He's a tough kid to tackle.
Well, I know some of his biggest runs against both you guys and Centennial came when he dropped back to pass and then he took off running instead. And I don't know if you can afford to put a spy on him or not, but you almost need one, don't you, to slow him down?
Sometimes. The thing is, you play in Dowling is, you know, they're going to run the ball and everybody's like, well, let's just load the box. We're going to put nine in the box. Well, that's great until they have a quarterback who's a 4'6", 40 kid, gets loose. Well, you have no one accounting for him. And I think he got out the gates a couple times on us on that.
Well, I know you guys aren't looking past a Friday, but if you are able to pull off the upset, you would advance to the semifinals next Friday at the Unidome. And since the semifinals are reseeded, you would likely draw the top remaining seed unless Waukee can upset Valley or Urbandale can upset Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Now, maybe there wouldn't be much of a difference between playing number one Valley or number two Cedar Falls, but you guys did play Cedar Falls earlier this season at the Dome and nearly knocked them off. My question for you is this. Do you like the fact that the semifinals are reseeded?
I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter. If you're going to win a state championship, you're going to play all the good teams anyway. So once you get to the final four, so to speak, at that point, I don't think it really matters who you play.
Sure.
Who you play. Everybody's going to be good. So.
Well, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and to me it seems like, you know, it penalizes a lower-seeded team almost that pulls off an upset because then you immediately get matched up against another high seed. It almost reduces the reward for winning that game.
Right. It kind of does, but, you know, I guess the state will do what they do.
Right.
I guess
they have their reasons, I'm sure.
It comes back to the whole RPI. You know, it's, you know, we were sitting at a certain spot, and, you know, I talked to Zelenovich, you know, we're warming up. I said, how the heck are we playing you guys? They're like, I don't know. How are we playing you? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess that's what the state decided to do. So it's just kind of crazy, I guess, how they kind of put some of those matchups and pairings together.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Adam. Well, thanks a lot for coming tonight. Appreciate it. Good luck on Friday. I'll see you there.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, Cool Sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photo facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is a senior offensive lineman for the Hawks. He has helped the team to a 7-3 record and a 5-game winning streak. His parents also used to be my neighbors on the north side of town, but that was a long time ago before the split, and he was pretty young at the time, so he probably doesn't remember that. But anyway, he is Sam Belding. Sam, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you. How you doing?
Hey, good. Well, let's get to the most important question first. You guys wore the white tops with the yellow pants on Friday during the win at Southeast Polk. But you've also worn the white tops on the road with the maroon and with the white pants. So which combination are you guys going with on Friday?
We're going white out Friday.
White out. That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked with Coach Booth about the win at Southeast Polk. You know, I think a lot of people expected that game to be a toss-up going into it. How much confidence did you and your teammates have that you could go over there and pull off the win?
I know every single one of our guys were ready, and we're all really geared up all week, and we practiced really well. And so I knew that every single one of those guys believed, 100% believed, and I 100% believed that we were going to be able to go over there and execute the game plan, execute what we wanted to, and pull off the win. And we did just that. So,
well, linebacker Mo Watson told me after the game that he told Bauer before your last offensive drive that he needed to score from your offense and that Jace told him, hey, I got you. You know, did you have that same confidence level when you took the field with about 7 minutes left?
Oh, yeah. I knew we were able to drive down there and just pound it to him and put the ball in the end zone and seal the game away.
Well, Bauer completed four or five passes on that drive, but you guys were also able to run the ball consistently against a pretty stout Southeast Polk defense. You know, as an offensive lineman, is there anything better than being able to line up and just run the ball down somebody's throat?
I can't say there's much better than that.
Well, you guys certainly have a lot of talented juniors on your offensive unit, you know, guys like Bauer and Breck, and there are some others. You know, you're one of the seniors on the unit. Have you tried to fill a leadership role this year?
I'd say a lot of our guys have stepped up this year, especially in the offensive line. Like Jacob Bear, he's a huge factor, a huge leader. Everyone looks up to him. I mean, he's one of the strongest guys in the weight room, so everybody steps up, looks at him. I'd say a lot of guys just really – everyone just, like, looks up to pretty much everybody else. Like, we all just have, like, a mutual – I don't know, like, just like a mutual camaraderie between all of us, and we all just build off each other.
There's nothing wrong with having a lot of leaders, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think most people in town have known about this junior class for a long time, and nobody's really surprised by the success that they've had in both football and baseball. You know, but this is a huge challenge that you guys face now, trying to knock off the 6-time defending state champs. You know, do you feel like you guys are ready for this moment?
Oh, yeah, we're already. We're ready since week 5. We wanted to get back out there and have the rematch and really show them what we can do.
We did play them 6 weeks ago. You know, what do you remember most about that game?
I remember most that we got up really early, and all of our guys were really fired up, and we thought that we could definitely beat those guys. We had our confidence heightened, and then, I mean, game progressed. It didn't go as much that way, and I just remember after the game that I just wanted to get back out there and just keep going and have that rematch. I'm really glad that we are, so we can really see what we can actually do, because we've gotten better as a team and a unit, and I believe that we're going to be able to execute perfectly.
Well, even though you guys lost that game, you know, did you gain some confidence from that game by losing just by 10 points? Because, of course, a year ago, you guys lost to them 42-0.
Yeah, it was definitely a confidence booster for us, seeing that, I mean, that we could hang with them, even though we had quite some big mistakes through the game. But hanging with them still and losing by 10 was a great confidence booster, which propelled us into the rest of the season and into the playoff.
Well, what do you think are some of the keys to the game? You know, as an offensive lineman, I'm sure you feel like, you know, you guys need to control that line of scrimmage, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We just got to know our assignments, I think, and just block to the whistle, block everybody, don't give up on any of our plays. And if we execute all of our plays, then I know that we will have a good chance. I'm positive that we're going to be able to pull out a win.
Well, Dowling certainly has some guys who can get after the quarterback, including Jackson Filer. He had 2 tackles for losses and a sack in the first game, and he leads the Maroons with 12 sacks on the season. I imagine he'll run into number 91 a few times on Friday. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty quick off the line. But I know we've been practicing all week getting ready for this, and we're just going to approach it as any other week. And I know I'm confident that our linemen will be able to handle him and do our job.
Well, we talked with Coach about how you guys, you know, struggled to run the ball consistently in that first game against Dowling. You finished with about 50 yards on the ground. You know, has that been a point of emphasis in practice this week?
Yeah, it has. We've been doing a lot of ground and pound in the practice and getting after each other. Even though it is a playoff week, we're not taking any reps off. We're not lightening the load, so to say. We're still getting after each other every rep, every down, so we can get ready to go and play this huge game and heighten our run game so we can win.
Well, I don't know if you guys talk about specific numbers or not, but do you think if you guys could even run for 100 yards, that'd probably help take some of the pressure off Jace in the passing game?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I feel like that would definitely help us out, and will.
Well, Sam, if you guys are able to pull off this upset, you would advance to the semifinals next Friday. You know, what would that mean to you to finish your high school career at the Unidome?
It'd mean a lot to me. I'd be so excited just to be there to go with all these guys, all my friends. Everybody will be there, and I feel like it'll just be a different experience. Played there earlier this year, and I thought that was a one-of-a-kind experience, but if we go back there, well, when we go back there again, it'll be a game to remember for sure.
Yeah, just going to ask you about that earlier game against Cedar Falls. You know, do you think that experience will be beneficial to you guys if you're able to get back there?
Oh, yeah, it definitely will be, because it came as a big shock because I didn't realize how loud it would be in there. It happened on the first play, how we had the must snap, and just because that loudness and that factor was something that we hadn't really prepared for, hadn't really had to deal with. But playing in there and the atmosphere, I think we'll be able to mentally prepare ourselves for what we'll be put up against when we go back and play.
Are there any other differences about playing in the dome? I mean, with the turf, I mean, most high schools have turf now, so maybe that's not the big adjustment. But what other adjustments do you have to make playing there?
I'd say it's all enclosed too, because mainly every high school field is open, so it's also just feels compacted almost a little bit when you walk out on that field, and it's a lot brighter because, you know, it usually gets dark during our game, so we also have to account for that, just a different atmosphere completely than what we're used to playing in. But I don't know, it's a fun place to play in, I got to say. I do enjoy it.
Well, hopefully you guys will get another chance there. Well, just a couple more questions for you. You know, have you made any plans yet for next year? Are you going to play football somewhere?
I'm not going to play football. I'm going on to study, like, biomedical engineering is the plan as of now.
Do you know where you're going to go yet?
I'm working on the college application process right now, but I've applied a few places, like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa State so far. So.
All right. Well, sounds like you know what you want to do. So, well, hey, Sam, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Good luck on Friday. I'll see you
awesome.
There.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender, and you can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my final guest tonight is assistant coach at Dowling, and he's also an Ankeny resident. We had him on the podcast earlier this season, and he didn't totally embarrass himself, so we thought we'd bring him back in tonight to preview Friday's game against Ankeny. He's Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. It's always nice to be talking football in November. Got some snow falling tonight, so we're happy to be playing this time of year.
You bet. Well, before we dive into Friday's game, I wanted to cover a couple other topics with you. You guys opened the playoffs last week with a 35-7 victory over Roosevelt. And I was looking at the stats from that game. Your quarterback, Hank Hemrick, completed 4 or 5 passes for 93 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he compiled a quarterback rating of 434. I don't think I've ever seen a number that high. And I know you guys are known as a power running football team, but that game obviously showed that your quarterback can do some damage through the air as well, can he?
Yeah, and Hank's been a guy that throughout the year, we really didn't know what we were getting with him. He's a competitor. A backup quarterback for us a year ago. He's a really good baseball player, plays in the outfield for baseball, got to play on a state semifinalist team this last year for baseball. Really good kid. Him as a runner, like you said, we would like to run the football. I think everybody in Iowa, I don't think you win without running the football in the state of Iowa. But having a quarterback that's as escapable and elusive as Hank is, it really takes that extra guy in the box, kind of takes him out of the equation, and then now the pass just becomes something extra. And some of our best teams, we've been able to just run the ball. That's not something completely foreign to us. A few years ago, playing Centennial in the Dome, we were 3 for 4 with 3 touchdown passes night in particular, too. So we would like to, but it's just enough passing, I hope, that we can kind of keep people on their toes.
Well, for the season, Hemrick has passed for nearly 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns. So your team, maybe isn't quite as one-dimensional as a lot of people think it is. Hemrick's also rushed for about 600 yards. Your top two running backs, Gavin Williams and Teagan Johnson, have both rushed for about 800 yards. Have you been pretty happy with, the balance that you've had this season?
For sure, and I'm not sure you actually strive for balance. I know some coaches will tell you that, but we'd just much rather whatever they're going to give us, that's what we're going to take. And again, Hank, with his running abilities, has really opened up a lot of stuff for us. We haven't had a running quarterback since Ryan Boyle. We've had guys that could move, but not a true running quarterback since we've had Boyle around. So it's just been great to have Hank there. He's kind of the great equalizer. We've gone against some great defenses, and he's got us out of some jams. And part of it is, for us, you kind of go into a season figuring out what you're good at, or you have to figure out throughout the course of the year what you're good at. And Hank brings kind of a different skill set than some of the other guys we've got. I think it took us a couple of weeks to realize, hey, wait a minute, I think we've got something special here in Hank's feet. So that's been fun.
Well, of course, I saw him play those two games against when you guys played Ankeny Centennial. I was really impressed with him. I hadn't seen him play, of course, before. And yeah, he was really impressive.
Yeah, he certainly can create, as an offensive line coach, he can cover up some of your deficiencies when you don't necessarily block a play the way it's meant to be blocked.
Well, of course, your team's only loss came in week 2 to Valley by a score of 29-22. That was before Gavin Williams made his debut for the Maroons after suffering an injury during the preseason. Do you think that loss can be attributed partially to his absence? Because you guys had to ride Teagan very hard in those first 3 weeks. Or do you think there were some other factors in that game?
Well, definitely some other factors. I mean, Valley, as you know, and they're a really, really good team, and this class has always been really good for them. They got a very good junior class as well. Just a lot of good athletes. Not that standout, high-level Division I recruit, but just a top to bottom. They're just a really solid class. We had 9 new starters breaking in on defense. That was their second game, and trying to do some things that maybe we weren't at that point. It's been a while since our defense has given up that many points in a game, and they've improved certainly a bunch since that point. We'd like to score more than 22 in a game as well. Again, figuring out what we need to do, what we're good at throughout the course of the year, and those losses always really teach you a lot about yourself, and we certainly feel like we learned a lot from that loss. And over the last 6 years, we've certainly had our share of losses during the regular season, and they're great teaching opportunities for the kids, because a close win, you don't always learn as much from that, but all of a sudden a couple points flip the other way and you learn the hard way at that point.
Well, yeah, you guys have only had a handful of losses over the last several years, but yeah, you're right, when you have lost, you typically don't lose again.
that's the goal.
Well, you guys have reeled off 8 straight wins since that loss, including the back-to-back victories at Ankeny that I talked about. You're now 3 wins away from capturing a 7th consecutive Class 4A state title. Now, you told me earlier this year that one of Coach Wilson's best teams at Dowling may have been one of his squads that didn't even win a state championship. You obviously don't know how this season is going to play out yet, but at this point, How does this team compare to those championship squads of the last 6 years?
Now, for me personally, on the offensive line, it's just a fun group of kids to coach. They're enjoyable to come coach with every day. They're a group of guys that have a lot of fun together. This year's group is a bunch of seniors together, and they do. They play the game the way it's meant to be played. We just have a really good time with everything that we're doing with them. So I think that'd be true a lot of the position groups that we have. In general, a lot of good kids, and we've had our share of good kids, but this has been just a fun group of guys to coach. You don't feel like it's a chore to get out there and coach them ever.
Well, I should also mention that former Ankeny kicking coach Peter Rame returned to the sidelines this year and joined the Dowling staff as an assistant. Your kicker, Jake Calvert, has made all three of his field goal tries and 36 of 41 PATs this season. So it looks like Peter, still knows how to coach the kickers, huh?
Well, I'd like to say that, but, man, I had him out there working with me, and I can't get him to fix mine. I used to be able to poke him through pretty good, and for some reason he hasn't been able to fix my swing at all this year. So, in fact, I think he might have screwed me up, and I will say that. I was a good kicker until Peter Rame got a hold of me.
Well, you might be the first one that hasn't won. So. Well, we talked earlier about your win over Roosevelt, and the Rough Riders have certainly made some great strides this season under first-year coach Mitchell Moore. Roosevelt even posted one of the year's most startling scores with a 93-0 victory over Sioux City West. You know, unfortunately, there have been a lot of lopsided games like that in Class 4A this year. Your team had a couple of 61-7 wins, a 77-0. Sorry, here you got a phone call you need to delete. A 77-0 victory over Sioux City North. You know, I asked Coach Rick Nelson about this last week, so I'll pose the same question to you. Do you think there's anything the Iowa High School Athletic Association can do to avoid some of these blowouts?
Short of bringing back the 50-point rule, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I just saw the story the other day from out in New York where if you win by more than 42 points, you have to go in front of a board, and it automatically carries a one-game suspension with it. That's not where we're going to head here in Iowa. I know enough people that won't happen here.
That might be a little overreach.
Yeah, completely agree. So, part of it is the way that the districts are set up right now. They set them up for competitive balance. I think they started going to that 4 or 6 years ago, maybe even 8 now. I don't remember for sure. And when they went to that, it means that you have all your Centennial, Ankeny, Dowling Valley, they're Waukee, Johnston, and Southeast Polk. They're all in different districts, or one or two in each district. And then you get the games against other teams around as well. You travel out to the Northwest or wherever it may be. So for competitive balance, in the interest of getting all the best teams in the playoffs, which I think the system has done, you no longer get some of the schools in there that are going to get killed in the first round. At least you get your best teams in. You don't get some of your better teams left out. I mean, in the old Central Iowa Conference or Central Iowa Metro League in the Central Conference, you sat there with Ankeny and Johnston and Southeast Polk and Indianola and us, and it was couple of those, Urbandale, Johnston, some of those teams weren't going to make the playoffs each year, and I think they certainly deserve to. And then you look around and saw some other teams that would make it in. So what the new system does is it certainly gets the best teams in the playoffs. Now, because of that, you run into some of these blowouts that happen throughout the regular season, and no one goes into these games saying, hey, we're going to try to score this many points. I've seen that Ankeny film. I watched the Roosevelt film against Sioux City West earlier in the year. No one goes into these saying, hey, we're going to try to run it up on these guys. But we've been in situations in the past couple of years. I remember a few years back in a game, we just brought everybody together at 77-0, and Coach Wilson says, hey, I have zero interest in us scoring any more points the rest of this game. If you find yourself in the open field, go down. Get out of bounds. If you catch an interception, go down. Let's face it, in today's society, the winning coach in those games takes a lot more flack for that than a losing coach takes in a lot of those situations. So it you don't try to do it, but it's one of those things that sometimes I can't fully say it can't be helped, but to a certain extent, it cannot be helped.
Well, and that's just a no-win situation for both teams, isn't it?
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, no one feels good about that, getting on a bus after a game like that. Certainly not the losing team. And as a winning team, how much do you really learn when I think we had a game this year, the starters played 13 plays. And you prepare. We prepare for all those teams the same we same way we prepare for Ankeny this week, and you don't really feel good about it at that point. So you want to get better every week, so you got to create those competitive situations and practice, because you do kind of have some of an idea some of these weeks that a game could turn this way. But those games, those games at 90 points were scored, we didn't get there. there's a lot of things that go wrong for the losing team in a situation like that to really get that many points put up on them.
Well, hopefully they can come up with a solution. few years ago, they changed the playoff bracketing from 32 teams back to 16. It's not like they realized that that was a mistake, because when they have 32 teams in the field, I mean, you saw some blowouts, some scores like that in the first round of the playoffs, and nobody wants to see that either.
Correct, especially not at that level. I know South Dakota just had like 103-0, I think it was a score the other night in the first round of their playoffs out there. Yeah, that's especially when you get to this time of year. No one wants to end their season on something like that. There is no perfect system. People have said that over and over again. There's always going to be some sort of a flaw. But I do think what they have in place right now with the RPI, it leaves you a cut and dry. Yes, these teams are in it now. Who they have these teams play, there's a little massaging that goes on there as far as the different locations they play at. So they do open themselves up to a little bit of scrutiny with that. But I don't think there's any doubt that the best 16 teams are in, maybe not in other classes, but definitely in 4A.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. And Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with, Dowling assistant coach Andy Pollack. He lives in Ankeny. That's what I was thinking of. So let's dive into Friday's game, Andy. In your previous win against the Hawks, Hank Hemrick rushed for 120 yards and 19 carries, and Tegan Johnson added 93 yards and 19 attempts. Hemrick only passed six times and completed three of them for 65 yards. So you really didn't have to throw the ball, you know, that much. You know, and you talked about this earlier, but it's safe to say that you guys go into just about, you know, every game looking to establish the run, and if it keeps working, you're not going to change, are you?
Sure. When we go on Sunday to put the game plan together, it's not, first of all, the first thing we do isn't put formations up on the board and figure out what we can throw out of. We're figuring out what we can run out of every formation. We've said this for the 15 years that I've been coaching here, that you do not win a state title in Iowa without being able to run the football. I mean, we're going to face – I mean, this weekend will probably be decent weather, but there's plenty of times during the playoffs that you don't get good weather. And I think about the only time that a team – they didn't end up winning it, but I think back to Marshalltown 2009 as one of the only truly pass-first teams that that I've seen make it to a state title game over the last, 15 years that I've been coaching here.
Well, it's not like you guys are going to come out and run a bunch of trick plays. I'm sure you got a few in your playbook, but you maybe ran what, one or two all year?
I don't even think we've done that, and I feel like it's been years since we've run a trick play. I mean, it would be safe to call us a group of safe play callers. I mean, a play has to have pretty much everything set up for it to work for us, and so a trick play, there's always some element of it might not work.
Right.
So we're just not really a trick play type offense. Unfortunately, we really haven't had to be for several years, but we've got enough other stuff to take advantage of how teams react to certain things that trick play just hasn't really been much in our arsenal.
Sure. Well, in the earlier matchup, Ankeny jumped out to a 7-0 lead on its opening drive, then had a chance to get the ball back when they forced a fumble by Hemrick on your first possession. But Louis Brooks picked up the fumble and ran about 60 yards to the end zone for a touchdown that tied the game. You know, so you guys got a little bit of a fortuitous bounce there, didn't you?
Yeah, no doubt. And Louis, it's a hustle play for him. I mean, you watch, Louis came from all the way on the other side of the field. He was trying to get in the way. It was an outside zone play to Hank up the left side. Louis was our receiver lined up on the right, and he came all the way across the field looking to throw a block. Ball, perfect bounce right up into him. Louis's a really talented athlete, so most balls end up bouncing right to him no matter what when he's out there. So, but a great hustle play by Louis. And really fortunate for us. I mean, the rest of the game went pretty well, but that's a huge way after a huge answer to their score to take it 62 yards on a fumble, your own fumble to score on it.
Well, obviously, you know, if Ankeny makes the recovery there, you know, it could have been a totally different game, couldn't
sure,
it?
Sure, no doubt. And that's the game of football, right? They look, there's always say there's four or five plays throughout the course of a game that if they go a different way, the other team can win. And that was probably one of those. I don't think there's any probably about it. That was one of those plays in that game.
Well, you guys did dominate the rest of the first half. You outgained Ankeny by a 200-28 margin after the Hawks' opening drive. Your team was held to just 3 points in the second half, but your defense made enough plays to maintain a comfortable lead. Ankeny was never able to make it a one-score game. Now, afterwards, Coach Nelson told me that he still thinks that you guys are beatable. He said, quote, some things would have to go our way for us to do it, end quote. You know, certainly, if Ankeny could win the turnover battle, you know, that'd be one of the keys to an upset. Is ball security and winning the turnover battle, is that something you guys talk a lot about?
Ball security is huge. Our running backs, wide receivers, when they catch a ball, even on their way back to the huddle with the ball, they've got lots of people, our defensive coach, and are poking at it the entire time. I mean, just constant focus on hanging on to the football. We've had some younger guys come up with us now for playoff preparation to give us a little bit of a scout team look, and they are very much surprised at the amount of times that a ball is trying to get poked out of their possession. So definitely a focus on ball control, defense constantly trying to strip at things. So it's turnovers are one of those huge stats that don't get, while they do get some of the attention they deserve, they don't get enough of the attention they deserve. Done lots of studies into the statistics for football. Probably one of the biggest ones as of late, the Iowa State game this year. Iowa State saw a stat based on the normal stats for that game. Iowa State wins that game 97 times out of 100, but they lose the turnover battle. And that's just such a huge stat in the game of football, more so than any other sport.
Yeah, I think that was the Iowa game, yeah.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Well, Ankeny gained most of its yards through the air in that first game. Jace Bauer completed 13 of 25 passes for 186 yards. He passed for one touchdown, ran for another. But the Hawks were held to about 50 yards on the ground, well below their average. Colin Kadolf ran nine times for just 24 yards. You know, so if you can make them one-dimensional, you know, that makes it easier to defend the passing game, doesn't it?
No doubt. In any team in the state of Iowa, if you can make them one-dimensional, and it was more so the one-dimensional came from the situations that we got them in, the second and longs, the third and longs, then your defense can really just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And one thing that Bauer, I think, has shown more of lately is his escapability, not breaking off the big runs, but just kind of creates more on his feet back there, and he's got a cannon for an arm and definitely the weapons to throw it to as well. So the key is that the first guy there has to take him down, and not too many teams have had success getting him down with that first guy. So that's going to be a huge key with our defense if we can, in fact, make them one-dimensional again on Friday night.
Yeah, Bauer's a pretty physical runner. You probably saw the tape of the game from Friday when he scored that touchdown to clinch the game, you know, with about 2 minutes to go.
Yep.
He just wasn't going to be denied.
Yeah, right? No doubt. He's a good athlete, a talented athlete, and I know his grandmother very well. I know the family. he's a good kid. They are. It's fun. I've kind of seen his career develop throughout his time as a quarterback here as well, and kind of from the outside and hearing updates from Mary. So I kind of hear all that stuff, and that whole class is a very talented class for them, and he's what makes it go.
Well, another guy in that class is Brody Brecht, and you guys limited him to just one catch for 25 yards in that first game. I'm sure you focused a lot of your defensive attention on him. You know, is he the kind of receiver that you almost have to double team at times?
Yeah, and our defensive coaches are I would call them, I hope they don't listen to this because I don't usually talk well about them while they can hear me, but they are very smart. They're brilliant, really, at some of the game plans they come up with. Very rarely are you going to look back and find out the best player beat us anytime that we lose. If we lose a game, it's because someone else from another team stepped up. And Ankeny's got some of the athletes that can do that. Jordan Cumb's been a guy that we've seen step up in the past and make those plays. If they can handle us up front, they certainly have the capabilities of Kadolf to go off as well with as comfortable as he looks in the backfield right now as well. So it's our defensive coaches, though, are just so good about taking out the best player and doing it in a way that you don't just take out those and all the resources are devoted to them, still allowing everybody else to play our game.
Sure. Well, yeah, you can't put 10 guys on.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Well, another key to the game could be penalties. You guys had a bunch of them in the first game, including one that wiped out a touchdown in the third quarter and forced your team to eventually kick a field goal. You also had a couple of personal foul penalties, and I don't imagine, you know, that went over real well with Coach Wilson, did it?
No, it never does. And looking back, when we talked about this earlier today, you know, we had a quarter of our season's penalties in that game. So it was that was definitely an anomaly for us. Half our season's penalties came over the course of two games that happened to be back-to-back right there, two out of 3 weeks. The holding penalties, those are things that we had four holding penalties in that game, and they were all – a holding penalty is always big, no matter what. A holding penalty is always a big penalty. It takes you off schedule. Taking a score off the board is definitely really hard. It makes things very difficult. It was a lot of plays in space where we got our tight ends out blocking guys in space, and at that point, just didn't know when to let up, you know, and let go and realize the play's going away. Okay, it's time to let go. So we've worked on that. We've improved that. I think those four holding penalties probably are half our season total, I would guess, in holding penalties that we've had this year, at least on the interior seven guys on our offensive line. So we feel like we've improved on that a bunch. You know, the personal foul things comes from one of my linemen just getting a little antsy after the play. We are on them all the time about blocking through the whistle, and sometimes that whistle, they don't hear it right away and keep going a little bit longer. And I think we had a face mask later on too. So, we had over 100 yards in penalties that game, which was interesting. We've had years that we were a very penalized team. This year's not been one of them. So hopefully that's something that we can get cleaned up here on Friday night.
Well, you're talking about those offensive holding calls. And you hear some people say when they talk about, you know, how refs referee a game that, you know, all they could call holding on every play. Mm-hmm. Now, you're an offensive line guy. I mean, do you think that's true? Could they call on every play?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the big thing that referees are looking for is outside the frame of the body. And when the hands get outside the frame, and the good coaches, I know Coach Nelson will tell you, I mean, we're holding on inside the frame, but you can see it. And these penalties were legit. I mean, these aren't things that I can argue about at all. Joe Moon saw them, and the referee saw them, and they got us. They were pretty obvious, pretty obvious holdings when you go back and see it on film. And I don't think I don't argue holding penalties because I don't think they make it up when right. you see them. So it's something that I'll just reserve judgment for later on the tape. Now I may think something about the official later on when I see it on tape, but in live, I just I don't feel like that's something that officials will make up at all.
Sure. Well, now the winner of this game will advance to the semifinals next Friday, and the semifinals will be reseeded, so there's really no way to know what the matchups will be. Of course, if all the higher-seeded teams win, your team would play Cedar Falls in a rematch of last year's championship game. You know, that would be a heck of a matchup. Of course, there's a possibility that Dalian Valley could meet in the finals. There's really no point in looking too far ahead, though, is there?
No, and it's not something – you know, honestly, this is the first time I've talked with anybody about the possibility of another championship. I mean, our guys are – very much to their credit, they stay focused on one game at a time, and Ankeny has our full – I mean, the game was a close game the time before. They've got our complete and full attention right now, and that's who we're preparing for. And it's – you know, there's nothing like going to the Dome. I mean, our kids right now see that getting to the Dome as a prize, and now if we would happen to get there, then getting to the championship is a prize. But it's – these kids are now – I mean, we've – you know, it's no secret. We've won 6 titles in a row. These kids have all seen growing up. They've seen their idols, their guys make it to the Dome. It's a truly special place in the state of Iowa to be able to play our – a great venue to be able to play our semifinals and finals at. I know there's been some talk before of, wow, if we have teams from down here, why do we make teams from down there travel up there? I assure you, every single kid loves the trip. It's a great venue. You don't have to worry about weather. For the fans, it's great. Maybe they don't like the drive, but it is just truly awesome to be able to play games in the Unidome.
Oh, for sure. Well, we mentioned earlier that your only loss was to Val, and I know you don't want any of your players to even be thinking about Val.
Oh, they're not listening anyway, I promise you.
but obviously, your guys –
they quit listening a long time ago when they heard me talking.
But obviously, your guys would love another crack at Valley, wouldn't
oh,
they?
We always do, and that's something. I mean, even a year ago, you know, when we got beat by Centennial, our guys were a little bummed when we didn't get a chance to play them again after they got upset in the first round. So it's something that our guys always like to have that chance to do, but you got to earn that right too. I mean, there's a lot of teams that would love to get another team back, but you got to earn that right by playing up all the way through. It's kind of interesting. We're just talking with a couple coaches the other day. I mean, you put everything into winning the district title and knowing that game against Ankeny was a district championship game, and now here we are 6 weeks later playing them. So did it really matter at that point? So here we are playing them again with a chance to move on. So.
Well, Andy, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I really appreciate it. I won't wish you good luck on Friday, but I will wish – I hope you guys have a good game and nobody gets hurt.
All okay? Right, sounds good. Appreciate that.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight, Ankeny Assistant Coach Adam Booth, Ankeny Offensive Lineman Sam Belding, and Dowling Assistant Coach Andy Pollack. I should also mention that Andy – I know Andy through the Central Iowa Sports Network as well, and the CISN-TV will have audio feeds of both the Ankeny-Dowling and Waukee Valley games on Friday, and hopefully we'll get that stream of the Ankeny game up on our site as well. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.